Lord God, as we pause, let our hearts be filled afresh with those very words we just sang. Now thank we all our God. Lord, it is to you that we owe so much. For you are the giver of life, of hope, of promise. You are the one who is the guarantor of our future. And so today, fill our hearts afresh with that spirit of gratitude that's rooted in remembering who you are, all that you have done, and that all that you continue to do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought in light of the message this morning, I'd open with a bit of a story about a very busy mom who was rushing home after a doctor's appointment in Grand Forks. It seemed that the doctor during that day was running behind schedule and the lab work took much longer than usual to complete. And so this poor, harried, very busy mother still had to pick up her prescription at the local pharmacy, shop for a few grocery items while she was in town at the Walmart, pick up her children once she returned to town, drive to her home, make supper, and then get everything ready again so she could launch for a meeting at her children's school. As this busy mom began to circle the Walmart parking lot, the windows of heaven, as they say, opened, and it began pouring down a drenching rain. And while this woman wasn't of the mind to pray about every detail of her life, she began muttering under her breath, "Oh Lord, you know what kind of day I've had. And there's still an awful lot ahead of me. Could you please grant me a parking place right away, and make it close to the building so I don't get soaked." These words were barely out of her mouth when this busy mom saw the backing lights of a car illuminate just ahead of her. And it was the best place in the entire parking lot, right next to the handicap slots, as straight out from the front doors of Walmart. Well, this harried mom made her way into that parking slot as quickly as she could, and then she said, "Never mind, God, something just opened up." Never mind, God. How many times have we asked something of God in our own hearts and minds, and then when we receive what we were seeking, we behave as if it was nothing more than some kind of fortunate coincidence? So often I wonder if we aren't in the business of failing to give credit to God, for whom credit truly is due, for all good gifts. In a way, this is exactly what happened in our scripture reading from Luke today. Traveling, we're told, near the border between Galilee and Samaria, on his way to Jerusalem, our Lord is approaching a nameless village where there are 10 men who come rushing up to him. 10 men that Luke describes as having a very serious skin disease. Men who had been afflicted with a disease known as leprosy, much as the story was highlighting earlier in our Old Testament lesson. Leprosy, as the people of Jesus' day believed, was incurable. And it was a disgusting disease. Proof to many who believed in that day that you must be the vilest of sinners if you are struck by such a malady. Such was their theology, how they believed. In Jesus' day, victims of leprosy were doomed. Doomed to die a slow and painful death. And as a result, cut off from all of society because of this ugly skin disease that they had. They couldn't even relate to their own families. They were relegated to merely being in relationship with those who were suffering as much as they were. So it's on this day that 10 of these men who are so stricken come to Jesus. And in absolute desperation, they cry out, "Jesus, Master! Have mercy on us!" I want you to imagine that scene a bit more in your mind's eye. to imagine how tension-filled the moment must have been as 10 men approached Jesus and cast out their cries of help to this one that they'd only heard about. Jesus, Master, help us. But he does nothing. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus doesn't even offer to pray for them. Shockingly, after what must have seemed like an eternity of time passing by, Jesus simply speaks words of guidance to these troubled men. He says, go. Go and show yourself to the priest. Now, I want you to think what it would be like if you had been a leper. A man stricken all these many years, isolated from family, from neighbors, from everyone, isolated from your community, not even able to worship God in your church. If all that Jesus said to you, by way of trying to give you hope, was to go and show yourself to the priest, how would you respond? I suspect that these lepers might have said, that's it? That's all you can offer, Jesus? Don't you see what I'm dealing with here? Look at me. My skin is decayed. No one will even talk to me. I'm considered unclean, isolated, alone in the world, except for these other men who are with me. And they're in as bad shape, if not worse, than I am. But here's something to take note of. In Luke's gospel, he points out what the 10 men do in response to Jesus' guidance. Surprisingly, they choose to do just what Jesus said. They turn away from Jesus and they prepare to go to show themselves to the priests at the local synagogue to do what was commanded. Something about Jesus carried that special emphasis for them. And as they turn and as they go, Luke says very simply, they were changed. Immediately, their diseased features are made whole again. Every cell in their body springs forth to new health. And each of the 10 witness themselves being miraculously transformed. Now, Luke doesn't give a lot of details about who first noticed this happening, and we'll probably never know, but we can kind of conjecture what it must have been like. Imagine it. They turn from this man of Galilee, they go toward the priests, and suddenly they see that their hands are restored. The flesh that once was so scarred and sloughing off became whole once again. Everything about their lives changed in an instant. Everything about Jesus that they had heard had been proven true. And so these 10 men who had suffered for so long finally experienced the very touch, the very healing presence of the living God. Now picture how they responded in that moment. A remarkable change in their lives. They must have reached out and embraced one another and started jumping up and down, celebrating the moment with ecstatic joy. Others must have run off immediately, going back to their family, their friends, their husbands, their wives, their children, showing them what had happened and how all had been made new again. All 10 men caught up in this amazing moment. But here's what I want to highlight for you today. Something remarkable happens for one man. One man stops in the midst of the celebration and remembers. He remembers Jesus. And he turns back slowly at first and then starts running back to Jesus. Back to this strange man from Galilee. Back to this one who made this incredible difference in his life. Only one, Luke highlights for us, one of the 10 who encountered Jesus saw beyond the gift of the moment and remembered the giver. Only one saw Jesus as he truly is. and he gives thanks. A story is told about a famous British author named Rudyard Kipling. Maybe some of you remember him as an author. He's famed for writing the story about the Jungle Book, the character Mowgli, raised by a family of wolves in the jungles of India. Rudyard Kipling made a fortune off of many of his writings. And so there's a story told about how a newspaper reporter one day came to Kipling and said to him, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone calculated that the money you make from your writings amount to about $100 per word." The reporter, with a bit of a smirk on his face, reached into his pocket and he pulls out a $100 bill. And he offers it to Rudyard Kipling and he says, "Here, Mr. Kipling, is a $100 bill. Now give me one of your $100 words." And Rudyard Kipling looked at the money for a moment. He took it from the reporter and he stuck it into his pocket. And then he said, "Thanks. Thanks." Friends, it's a simple word. Six letters. And yet I wonder sometimes how we have taken the power of that word for granted in our own lives. How many of us in this room have felt the sting when someone didn't say thanks to us, even though we reached out in gestures of love and support to those that we care about? Not that we expected a response, but what a gift it is when we hear that response of thanks. How many of you who operate households out there have worked hard after a long, busy, tiring day to put a meal on the table for those that you love? How many of you have cleaned up a mess that many walked by throughout the day and you took care of it without seeking anything in return, just doing it? How many of us in this community of faith do all manner of tasks now and then behind the scene, not necessarily seeking a response, but oh, how good it feels to hear that simple word, thanks. Thank you for what you do. Often it's the absence of that simple word that can make many of us feel rather used or taken for granted, leaving us wondering why we even bothered to do such a thing in the first place. And as I've been processing this message this week and thinking about these leprous men who were made new, I've been struggling and thinking about the attitude of gratitude that seems so absent in our culture these days. Why is it that we find it so difficult to truly be thankful and to offer that simple gesture of love to one another? This is why the story of Luke's gospel seems so timely and pertinent to me. It's how God's word continues to come alive. It speaks to today, to every moment. Through the response of one leper, we are reminded what it is to return and say thanks, to remember the gesture of love, and to offer a word of thanks. Earlier this week, I read this, I thought, poignant quote. It said, "An attitude of gratitude may be the purest measure of one's character and of one's spiritual condition." An attitude of gratitude, the purest measure of our character and our spiritual condition. Friends, in a sense, it's our gratefulness that is an expression of our faithfulness. And it's a sign of a humbled heart to recognize that we need one another. We rely on one another. We do not stand alone in this world. I delved a bit deeper to find out some of the background of the word gratitude as it's used in the scriptures. In the original language of Hebrew, the word of thanks or gratitude is the same root word as that of confession. And I thought, that's rather interesting. To offer a word of thanks is the same thing, somewhat, of offering or confessing our dependence on others. To acknowledge humbly that we need one another. We are benefited by the goodness of one another. And as Christians, we should know this better than most. Wouldn't we all agree that each of us in our lives are better because of Jesus? Knowing who we are and recognizing that our Lord Jesus loves us unconditionally in spite of what we are. So that's becoming kind of the foundation for me as I reflect on this powerful story today. The whole concept of remembering to be thankful. Remembering that my life, the life of all of us, is one that often is disfigured by our own self-centered choices. We are people of brokenness and sin. We do things that hurt one another. And yet remembering that it is our Lord Jesus that is the sole reason for the healing and hope beyond the hurt. That's one thing we hold in common, friends, with everyone. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done or what we've left undone, no matter how uneventful our faith lives may be, all of us hold this truth in common, that we need Jesus. We were once held in the grip of sin and its brokenness. It disfigured who God intended us to be, and Jesus set us free by his own gift of love, an offering of his life for us. I'll never forget, as a young Sunday school student, learning from memory my first Bible verse, and of course many of you maybe did the same thing, remembering and memorizing John 3:16, and quoting that to my Sunday school teacher, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." And I remember how proud I was to speak that message. But as time went by, as the years passed by, it was as if the truth of that word passed in one ear and right out the other. And yet, as I grow older, and as the years march along, it's becoming more and more of a profound truth that I want to claim in my heart. For God so loved the world. For God so loved you, Dave, that he gave his only son. And that if you believe, you have that hope of a future beyond even death itself. Friends, how often is it that we just take for granted this amazing gift that our Savior has given to us? I've been mindful again and again how much we take for granted as believers in Jesus. And I want to challenge you today, perhaps even reawaken all of us, to the powerful truth of looking at what we were before knowing of Jesus. Thinking about and remembering, what would the world be like without Jesus? The one who provides hope, promise, the assurance of a future beyond times of death itself. So friends, that's my takeaway from today's gospel. Remembering what it would be like without Jesus. Remembering that because of Jesus, you and I are made new again. So we need to remember. Like the leper who went back, gave thanks, fell down on his knees, and praised the one who is the Lord of life. May we learn to say thanks. May it give us reason to pause in the midst of the busyness of our lives and to say thanks over and over again for all that God has done and still does in each of us. Thanks be to God. Friends, I invite you to say that with me as we close this reflection. Thanks be to God.